The Justice Center of Rensselaer County held a forum on environmental justice on Sunday, April 14th in Rensselaer. In this third and last segment of our coverage, Barbara Heinzen for the Clean Air Coalition of Greater Ravenna, Queemans, discusses the group's work to address the environmental and public health concerns of waste management, incineration, tire burning, and port expansion in the town of Queemans. Much of their work is also focused on the Wholesome Ravenna Cement Plant. In the second half, Greg Campbell Cohen of Timber talks about the successful campaign to get Troy officials to commit to replacing every lead service line in the city at no cost to residents or homeowners.
I'm Barbara Heinzen. I moved to the Capital Region in 2011. After my parents died, using that inheritance to buy about 15 acres on the bank of the Hudson River, where the Hanakure Creek enters the Hudson, because I heard that riparian sites were very biodiverse. And I wanted to see if I could manage this site for greater biodiversity. And then my neighbors, as I got to know them, started saying, "Have you heard about the Port of Queemans? They're just up here, and they want to take that 400 acres where the children used to play called the Ponderosa, and they want to turn it into an industrial park. We have to stop it." Well, I want to tell you, we failed completely to stop that. The Port of Queemans owner is, he has a way of using his influence. At a certain point, we got a very good town supervisor in place, and in December of, I think it was his first year, we heard from Mike Ewall of Energy Justice Network that Connecticut was planning to send one-third of its garbage to the local cement plant in Ravenna so that Ravenna cement could burn it for fuel. Now, we know that's pretty toxic, and we managed between the 15th of December and the end of the year to persuade Connecticut this was a bad idea. And one of the people who helped us do that is Judith Enck. That then attracted other people to looking at what was going on. And we began to look at clean air issues and the use of the waterfront. We managed to get the DEC to forbid the cement plant to burn tires, which they were very keen to do. And they were particularly keen to do it because the Port of Queemans had a contract to pick up tires from around the state. We then, after passing a clean air law in Queemans, we helped to pass a clean air law in Albany County. And as soon as that was passed, we had a new town administration come in, and they were very much in the hands of the business people, and they trashed our local clean air law, and they made it impossible for the Albany clean air law to take effect. So we have been fighting this combination of the Port of Queemans, which manages a lot of waste, and many of the businesses that are in their new industrial park are managing waste. We helped create greater awareness of these issues in Queemans, in Albany County. The latest wrinkle in the story is that the Port of Queemans now says, we need a second dock in order to support the development of wind power in the capital region. I believe they're going to use all these new facilities to expand their waste business. I have no way to prove it. But we now have a more sympathetic town administration, and the port put in another application for GE to build wind power manufacturing on a wooded ravine, area full of ravines along the Hudson River that's part residential and part industrial. We managed to stop that from happening and getting approval in the town before December. So we're pushing all the time at what's happening to the river. When I asked Diana why she bothered to be with us, she said, we need to protect the river. Christine said, we need to protect the air that we're producing here. All the incentives are to destroy. So in addition to our local activism and trying to change laws, how do we change the basic rules so that when I actually increase the biodiversity in my 15 acres and get rid of the damned invasive plants, what reward do I get? At the moment, I get nothing. But the Port of Queemans gets a lot of reward for destroying its habitats. How do we change those rules? There's some very fundamental issues going on here. And I think the challenge of the 21st century is to include the natural world in our economic system in a positive way, not a destructive way.
I'm Greg Kimmelkun, and I'm the managing officer of Timber, which is a small public interest outfit based out of Troy, working to support the interests of working people. This issue of lead pipes in Troy is a little bit unlike anything else that I've ever worked on, in that what is overwhelmingly accepted and undisputed about lead is much broader than issues that I've worked on in the past, where there is no big lead. Nobody like protecting the interests of lead. Nobody saying we need to put more lead pipes into the ground. If they exist, I haven't met them. But what there is a very large resource cost that people would like to defer or avoid entirely. And so that is how opposition to lead service line replacement presents itself. There are a lot of incentives to basically not peek under the hood. In November 2022, I was on Facebook. I saw a message from a mother named Jonna Favreau, whose children had just gotten lead tests, and she had found that she had extremely elevated blood lead levels, that the children had extremely elevated blood lead levels. And they'd been going over the house, like trying to figure out what the source could possibly be. Lead pipes, you know, how it's talked about relative to other sources of lead contamination sort of varies depending on where the discourse is, but it's not usually the first place that people look. But they had winnowed down the possibilities to probably lead pipes. At the same time, I had caught like a small detail about Troy's public finances, and a friend and former colleague, Rob Hayes over at Environmental Advocates New York, also caught hold through a separate foil of a very closely related issue. And so we all got together and looked at the issue from our respective angles and started bringing in other advocates and other community members. And what was ultimately clear to us was that the city of Troy had received over $500,000 for lead service line replacement from the Department of Health in 2017, and in late 2022 had spent none of that money and had not made significant progress on getting to that point. 4 months later, with quite a lot of pressure and heartache and hard work, Mayor Madden at the time committed to replacing 100% of the lead service lines in the city of Troy at no direct cost to residents, which is the first commitment of that type in the state of New York, to my knowledge. What started out as, however you account for it, either $0 or just over $500,000 of investment into the lead service line replacement program in early 2023 has now morphed into a total investment of $33 million, $17 million of which directly support lead service line replacement, a number that just got much higher thanks to the bipartisan infrastructure law, which accounts for almost $13 million of it. Point is that I'm driving at here, beyond just like this story of lead service line replacement in Troy, there are a couple things. One is that these are complicated issues, and it is easy to think someone's taking care of it, but by asking questions and talking to your neighbors and sort of piecing together the puzzle, you can actually get pretty far in understanding what an issue is. That's especially important for things where you might take for granted that it's being taken care of, or where there's a significant disincentive to taking care of the problem. So that's one of the things. And then the other is, the only reason why Troy was able to access that money was because the issue was presented and the information was collected, and Troy went from single-digit reporting on whether there are lead service lines in Troy to now close to 50%. And that meant that Troy had the best inventory in the state, or probably the best inventory in the state. And that meant that it was unambiguous that they needed the lead service line money from the bipartisan infrastructure law. All of those little acts, reporting just your own house or getting your neighbors to report, it all adds up. We're now in a position where Troy's as well positioned as any other city to get this done, and it happened in about a year.
This has been Mark Dunley for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.